This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
What did Jesus mean when he said, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again"? What does it mean to be born again? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, as you talked with Nicodemus of old and cited to him that great truth that unless we are born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of God, so speak to us and grant that we may understand what it means to be a Christian, to be born again, to have that new life which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, Lord, be our teacher, and Holy Spirit, come and open our hearts that we may receive the word which you have in store for us. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Friends in Christ, Bishop J.C. Ryle, an English biblical scholar who died in 1900 and who is highly respected even in evangelical churches today, has written, quote, "A person may be ignorant of many things in religion and yet be saved. But to be ignorant of the matters written in this chapter, John 3, is to be in the broad way which leads to destruction." Now let me read for you what John 3, 1-8 has to say. This is our text for the sermon today. "Now there was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, No one can come and see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. These were the words, born again, that Jesus used in his conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, like many today, was a religious man, but he was still searching for the truth. His soul was restless, for religion will not really bring you to that place where you have an intimate relationship with God. That comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and the tradition says that there could be no more than 6,000 of them at one time. He had gone through some liturgical order to become a Pharisee and was highly respected by those, for they spent their lives observing every detail of the law of God to see that it was not broken. Besides being a Pharisee, Nicodemus was also a part of the Sanhedrin. This was a group of 70 members and often referred to as the Supreme Court of the Jews. This man, Nicodemus, came to Jesus at night. And as he stood there in his presence, he said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. And to this, Jesus responds, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, this was extremely perplexing to Nicodemus, and he asked the question, well, really, what does this mean? People have been asking this question ever since. What does it mean to be born again? The Bible goes on to make it very clear that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. We had nothing to do with our physical birth. We have nothing to do with our spiritual birth. The possibility for us to be in a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ meant that that Savior had to come here and die on the cross for our sins. We are sinful people, and God can have nothing to do with sin. So he sent in this world his only begotten Son, and the Lord Jesus suffered, took all of our sins upon him, died on a cross, paid the price for those sins, and on the third day was raised again, only to promise that after his ascension, one day he would return to judge the living and the dead. Christ is coming again. He now lives with his Father in heaven. Christ comes to us every day in his word if we will only read it. So empowered by the Holy Spirit, we receive him. Now that means that though I have nothing to do with my spiritual birth, that is, I could not atone for my own sins, when Christ has done it all and he places it before me, he can empower me to receive it. And that receiving, empowered by the Holy Spirit, I must do if I am going to be born again. There is some question about that when it comes to certain people and their interpretation, but we can only go to the first chapter of John. And it says that John came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to those who believed in his name, who gave the right to become the children of God, children born not of natural desire nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. In other words, when Christ comes and says, here it all is, as you have been created by your heavenly Father, physically, so also spiritually. Empowered by the Spirit, receive me, and you will be born again. There are many ways to describe this new birth. Jesus enters into our lives. That means he moves from our head to our heart. The inward man is thoroughly cleansed, and his spirit is thoroughly renewed. The born-again person lives in a very personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus walks with us. Our lives are changed. Paul has said it well, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Referring again to Bishop Ryle, Ryle says that when we are born again, God gives us new habits, new tastes, new desires, new appetites, new judgments, new hopes, new fears, and he grants to us the assurance that when we leave this world, we can be assured that we will live with him forever in the kingdom of heaven. Now, how does this new birth take place in a person's life? Well, you can see that with Nicodemus, there was a real struggle. He came at night. He didn't want the people to know that he was coming. And then he has this conversation, and Jesus confronts him with this, you must be born anew. Nicodemus had come to the conclusion that there was no peace and there was no intimate relationship with God by keeping the law, because he fully knew that we could not, on our own strength, keep the law. But now this gospel that he hears, it is so contrary to what he had known all of his life. He struggles to be born again, to ask Jesus Christ into my life. You see, here was Judas, called to be a disciple of our Lord, and he was debating the whole thing from the standpoint of going out of a relationship with God, when Nicodemus, on the other hand, was not called to be a disciple, but was being used by God mightily, I think, in the days that followed. But at that particular time, the Holy Spirit was working to bring Nicodemus to faith. We see another side of Nicodemus's life. When somewhere between his meeting Jesus and the burial, the Sanhedrin was meeting, and they were condemning Jesus for what he had done. They were hard on him. Until finally Nicodemus said, and you can read this in John 7:51, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he is doing? You see, he wanted to defend Jesus. He had come so far that he was not the terrible person that the rest of the Sanhedrin thought he was. But then finally, in John 19:38, we have the account of Jesus being buried. And there was a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. He was a very wealthy individual. And this person had asked for Jesus' body that he might put it in his new tomb. And the Romans granted this. So when he was burying Jesus, it was Nicodemus who came by, helped Joseph of Arimathea put the body into the tomb and anointed the body with costly ointment. Sometime during those 3 years, with much struggle to be sure, Nicodemus was born again. And he identifies himself with Jesus in that ceremony there at the tomb, when he anointed, showing his love, that body with costly ointment. When he was saying, Lord Jesus, I give you what I have. I want to be yours. You're mine. And Nicodemus was born again. That's what the new birth is, receiving Jesus Christ into your life. The robber on the cross had an entirely different picture of what this whole matter of salvation was all about. But there hanging on that cross and knowing what he had done that was so wrong, the robber cried out to Jesus, "Lord, will you remember me when you come in your kingdom?" And our Lord Jesus Christ took that confession and that expression of faith, and he said, today you will be with me in paradise. The man was converted. The man became a new individual. There was no time for him to live unto the Lord and to show his gratitude, but he was a born-again person. St. Paul we read about. Paul was smitten on the road to Damascus, led into the house of Ananias. There Ananias talked to him about the way of salvation and whatever else was necessary. And finally, Paul confesses his faith, and Ananias says, "Why do you now tarry? Rise and be baptized, and have your sins washed away." And then he went away to Arabia. And there he was for 3 years, where in a very intimate relationship with God, he was called upon to be the apostle to the Gentile world. A new person had come into being. There was a young Timothy. It says that he grew up from childhood, supposedly knowing the Lord Jesus. Where had he learned it? His grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice had taught him the way of salvation, and Timothy had come to faith in Jesus Christ through the Word of God. He was born again. Now then, how are we born in our day? And I do not believe that we can definitely say that there's one particular way that a person is born again, or how he comes to that time. Born again is receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, there are millions and millions of Christians today and throughout history who believe that you are born again in baptism. That is a persuasion of the Roman Catholic Church, as I understand it. I know that it is a position of our Lutheran Church, and it was in that church that I was born, baptized. As a little child, my father, and my mother was still in bed. Dad took me to the church, and I was baptized in the name of the Triune God. At my baptism, supposedly, I was born again. The spiritual rebirth had taken place. The abuse of that was sometimes that people could say, well, now he's been baptized and that's all there is to it. But there was far more to it than just bringing me over and having water placed on my head. The pastor said to my father, and my mother home in bed, "Since you present this child for baptism, I now charge you that you take him home and introduce him to the Lord Jesus Christ." I didn't know what was going on, did I? Didn't have a clue. But God had blessed me. God had given me a Christian home. He had given me a father and mother who took my baptism extremely seriously. And one day, when I got a little bit older, they began to talk to me about Jesus. They got me Sunday school books and Bible history books, and I learned more and more about the Lord Jesus and all that he had done for me and for so many people. I was taught to pray. Every Sunday at 10 o'clock, we were in our church. At 11:30, we were at Sunday school. At 7:30, we were back for service again. Now, I was born into a Lutheran home. I was educated theologically in a Lutheran college and in a Lutheran seminary. So it is natural that I would go along with this idea that I'm born again in holy baptism. And I have had no real trouble with that. I used to like to say that God entered into a covenant relationship with me. But after my baptism, there had to be something else. There had to be teaching. Remember, Jesus says, go in and make disciples of all the nations by baptizing and by teaching them. And that's what was done by faithful parents and by a good, faithful pastor. And so the days went by, and I was God's child. When I was 17 years of age, this all had built up. The Holy Spirit's instruction had continued on in my life, and there, as a young man, I had a spiritual awakening. God said to me through His Word, "You're my child." And I knew that I was born again. His Word had done it. I had simply, empowered by His Spirit, received Him. I am very, very much concerned that in our particular Lutheran church, but in any church where they practice infant baptism, that we think it is just to get the child to the church and have him or her baptized, and then that's all there is to it. That's not true, my friend. That's not true. If we walk away from that Christ who became ours, even though we are baptized, we are lost. The prodigal son is a great example. What did the father say? My father, who was lost, has been found. Who was dead is now alive. In other words, not all baptized people are saved. It is serious when the congregation teaches or gives the impression that because you have been baptized, not taking a thing away from the baptism, that you are saved. Sad to say, on the basis of what the Scriptures teach, there will be many baptized people in hell. And it is bothersome for me to hear a sermon where the preacher is simply assuming that everyone he is talking to is saved. That is not so. At least it is not so in the congregations that I have served and I have preached to. They need to be converted if they have walked away from Christ. But you ask, well, they're in church. Doesn't that mean that they're in Christ? No, not at all. There are many people who can come to church because of tradition. A friend of mine who was in our confirmation class came to hear me preach one Sunday when I was back in my home congregation. And after the service, we stood and talked for a while, and he said, "You know, Homer, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe that Jesus is my Savior. I reject many of those things that we were taught in confirmation." Now, here was a boy whose life was entirely different. His father and his mother only came to church once in a while. When he was 12 years old, they had him enrolled in confirmation. He had been baptized as a baby. At 14, he was confirmed. And after his confirmation, he never came back. And I looked at him and I said, "Russ, God still loves you, but you need to be converted." When that man one day says, and I pray he will, "Lord Jesus, come into my life," then he will be born again, and not until. A little lady who works at our retirement center one day said, "I can tell you this, I am a born-again Christian, and God will take care of me." That's what it is to be born again, to receive Christ into our lives. And there he lives forever. Amen.
How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in our believer's ear. It soothes our sorrows, heals our wounds. takes the wounded spirit all, and calms the troubled breast. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul, and to the weary rest. Weak is the effort of my heart, and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought.
Lord Jesus, so often we are like Nicodemus, we do not understand. But we thank you not only for creating us to live a few years on this earth, but you have made us new people through the new birth, and we are yours forever. Comfort us with that, especially those who are sick and for whom death draws nigh. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We pray that your heart has been touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on his or her birthday or some other occasion. For your convenience, we are now able to accept donations by credit card. Your support allows us to deliver biblical truth to those who are unable to worship in the church of their choice. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and their prayers. Address your gifts and requests to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.